Queen Elizabeth II's death has prompted an outpouring of grief around the world.
She's a person we've always looked up to. To my mum. It's just a sad day. Just a very, very sad day.
In New Zealand, many are mourning the Queen's death and reflecting on her 70-year reign.
But her passing has also revived the discussion about New Zealand's ties to the monarchy.
In many ways, New Zealand is a disguised republic.
Kia ora, I'm Annika Smith.
I'm Giles Dexter.
And I'm Katie Scotcher. Welcome to Focus on Politics. For the first time in 70 years, New Zealand has a new head of state. Upon the Queen's death, her eldest son, Charles, immediately and automatically became king. This week, we've seen pomp and ceremony around the Commonwealth formalising the change in monarch. In New Zealand, Cabinet and the Executive Council met 48 hours after the Queen's death to formally acknowledge the new king. The proclamation of accession was then read on the steps of Parliament.
Whereas by the death of our late beloved sovereign, Queen Elizabeth II, the crown has solely and rightfully come to His Royal Highness Prince Charles Philip Arthur George. We, therefore, hereby proclaim that His Royal Highness Prince Charles Arthur Philip George is now King Charles III, by the grace of God, King of New Zealand. God save the King!
The moment was historic. Such an event hasn't occurred since the 11th of February 1952, when Queen Elizabeth was officially acknowledged as New Zealand's monarch. The Governor-General, Dame Cindy Kero, reflected on this at the ceremony.
Today, on these same grounds, we bear witness to another moment of deep and historic significance for Aotearoa New Zealand.
Hundreds gathered at Parliament for the occasion, and a sea of dignitaries and MPs dressed in black watched from the forecourt. Later in the week, they had an opportunity to reflect on the Queen's reign during a special debate in the House.
Her reign corresponded with the period of most rapid change in human history, from the fall of empire, war, major societal shifts and upheavals, through to the advent of television and social media. She became a touchstone, a constant, an anchor in the sea of change.
She has been such a constant presence in all of our lives. From appearing on our money and on our stamps and on our magazine covers and on our TV screens.
She came to the throne in a world of pencils and paper, black and white TV and rotary telephones that were fixed to the wall. Her reign ended in a world with space exploration, mobile phones and even TikTok.
Te Pāti Māori co-leader Rāwiri Waititi and Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson both raised the Crown's impact on Māori.
The British Empire and the power of its monarchy was built of stolen whenua, stolen resources and stolen tonga.
With all that I have acknowledged with love for the death of a queen, the question of what her service was an aid of is certainly a legitimate one, and yes, a question for this very time.
It's long held Green Party policy to support a referendum on whether or not New Zealand should become a republic. Ms Davidson says it's too early to say if the Greens would seek a commitment to hold a referendum if it's part of the next government.
We're not going to make promises about all of that stuff. That's got to be worked out through the vote, through what it lands like on the night, through our members. So that's not something we're, you know, we're even going to try and start talking about at the moment.
The general political consensus is it's too soon after the Queen's death to be talking about changes to New Zealand's constitution. Even so, the appetite among politicians for New Zealand to become a republic is low.
Look, X says if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I don't sense that people are dissatisfied with our constitutional arrangements.
Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern has said she expects New Zealand will become a republic in her lifetime, but she says it's not on her government's agenda.
I've never sensed an urgency. There's so many challenges we face. This is a large, significant debate. Don't think it's one that would or should occur quickly.
Since the Queen's death, other countries in the Commonwealth have been grappling with the same discussion. Antigua and Barbuda's Prime Minister, Gaston Brown, told ITV the Caribbean nation will decide on whether to become a republic within the next 3 years.
This is not an act of hostility or any difference between Antigua and Barbuda and the monarchy, but it is the final step, as I said before, to complete that circle of independence, to ensure that we are truly a sovereign nation.
Meanwhile, across the ditch, Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has declared there will be no republic referendum in his first term. This is despite Australia's first assistant minister for the republic being sworn into Mr. Albanese's cabinet earlier this year. Here he is speaking to Sky News.
Now is not the time to engage in that debate. The Queen's funeral is being held next Monday. It is a time to give thanks to the Queen's service. And I think that is well above people's views about our constitution and our system of government.
Sir Geoffrey Palmer, a constitutional expert, was the ninth New Zealand Prime Minister during the Queen's reign. He says if Australia becomes a republic, New Zealand will likely follow suit.
It seems to me very difficult if Australia becomes a republic, as I think very likely, for New Zealand not to become. And the thing that people need to understand about that is that the Commonwealth connection is not affected. Majority of the Commonwealth nations are not ones who recognise the Queen as, or the King as head of state, but they are still members of the Commonwealth.
Talk of the inevitability of New Zealand becoming a republic has been going on for years, if not decades. Sir Geoffrey says Aotearoa is already what he calls a disguised republic, even though it's a constitutional monarchy. Decision makers are elected by voters in an election, and the monarch lives some 18,000 kilometres away. They don't rule the country personally. Their role is carried out by the Governor-General, who acts on ministerial advice. Sir Geoffrey says having a New Zealand head of state is the strongest argument for becoming a republic.
Most countries do, and it seems difficult for my grandchildren to understand why our head of state is centred on London. It's not easy. And you know, the English traditions are not the same as ours. The Imperial Parliament at Westminster created New Zealand as a colony of the United Kingdom. And that colonial legacy, while very important and positive in many respects, has quite a few weaknesses, especially when it came to the treatment of Maori by the early colonial governments, who really dispossessed Maori of a lot of land, and those scars are still with us. So the process of decolonisation, or the shadow of it, is not yet quite complete in this country. And I think you ought to be seen to be in charge of your own system.
Self-determination.
Yes.
Such changes would most likely require a royal commission and have to go to a referendum. Sir Geoffrey argues political neutrality, as modelled by the late Queen for the past 70 years, is of utmost importance for any head of state role. As a symbol of unity and relatability, he says a New Zealand citizen in this position could even help foster Aotearoa's national identity.
But I think if you did the work and faced up to it and really did it properly, you would find that you could have a sort of liberating effect on the system here, so that New Zealand could develop its own identity in its own way, with its own culture. And just remember how diverse this country has become.
New Zealand has undergone enormous change since the Queen took the throne in 1952. Its population is diverse and growing more so, but its constitution remains the same, a treaty partnership between the Crown and Māori.
In her eighth of 10 visits to New Zealand, in 1990, Queen Elizabeth went to Waitangi to mark the 150th anniversary of the treaty. In a remarkable moment of speaking truth to power, the Anglican Bishop of Aotearoa, Reverend Whakahuihui Virko, went off script.
I want to remind our partner that you have marginalised us. You have not honoured honoured the treaty.
5 years later, the Queen returned to Aotearoa offering a formal apology from the Crown and signing the country's first treaty settlement. Historian and Tainui leader Professor Tom Roa told Midday Report he believes the apology was heartfelt.
That apology from the reigning sovereign of a colonising nation to a colonised people had never ever occurred before. And this significant event played a huge role in the recovery of our people from those ravages of colonisation.
Professor Roa says a lot of thought needs to go into what a republic would mean for Māori, concerns echoed by Māori Development Minister Willie Jackson.
I think the reality is for a lot of Māori is the position of the treaty is paramount. And so there's been a lot of worry that there's been a lot of worry that the treaty might disappear.
Mr. Jackson personally supports a republic, but he says everyone will have a different voice and opinion, and all are equally valid.
You wouldn't ever normally get a matriarch of that standing saying, OK, you know, we'll apologise. So you get the Tā Tipines, I heard Pita Tipine coming out, you've heard Tainui come out, the Kingitanga have come out, huge support for her. Now that can be a bit upsetting to some of the activists who are coming through, you know, who have done the yards, the Hone Harawetas, the Enet Sykes and all that. My own family, my uncle Moana Jackson and all that, they all rallied against the Crown. But Māori Dim is like Pākehā Dim, I suppose. We're not all universally behind.
Fellow Labour Minister Pini Henare says now's not the time for debate, at least not until his iwi gets its long-delayed settlement.
Well, for me, as a ngāpuhi, and given the fact that we haven't come anywhere close to a settlement, there will be, at least from my perspective, no thoughts given towards a republic until ka whakamana hia te tiriti o Waitangi until it's been honoured.
But even if politicians say now's not the time, people are still talking about it. Social media has driven conversations and education since the Queen's death in ways impossible at the death of George VI in 1952. Decades of trauma and grievance have been given a megaphone. But Rangatahi Māori Te Matahiapo Safari Hines says conversations over where the country's heading, constitutional transformation and how Te Tiriti sits in that have already been happening for a long time.
When things like this happen, they sort of come to the surface again, or they come, perhaps the best way to put it, is they come into the front of mind, or they're made very visible for a small period of time to a larger number of people. So I think we should keep talking. I don't think we need to be making any impulsive decisions or impulsive statements about where we're heading, like, we need to now become a republic and we now need to become an independent country and separate ourselves from the Crown. Because if that is the space we are moving to and if that is the thing that we want, then I want it to be a thing that is promulgated by us wanting to do it. You know, I don't want us to only be doing something because someone has died. When we make that move, I want it to be because we wanted to, because we believe we've had enough discussions as a country about the future of our country and where we're heading, because we all understand our history, because we all understand Te Tiriti o Waitangi, because we all understand the place of Māori and non-Māori.
Last year, Mr. Hines was part of the Māori Constitutional Convention. He has looked at how a constitution based in Tikanga Māori and based on Te Tiriti could be implemented. He is also concerned around what impulsive calls for a republic would mean for Te Tiriti.
If we made an impulsive decision to become a republic tomorrow, then who is the treaty relationship with? How valid is Te Tiriti o Waitangi if the Crown no longer has a part in this country? You know, it's things like that which, you know, are fundamental to how our country operates. The idea that the Crown is here, they were given kāwanatanga, and then if we decide tomorrow that we're independent from the Crown, then who is being held to account for Te Tiriti being abided by or breached?
So the challenge of the way forward is how the debate gives space to everyone's voice while recognising the complexity and trauma of colonisation and what makes New Zealand unique. Te Pāti Māori co-leader Rāwiri Waititi says the path is clear.
Well, I think we need to just be mature enough to have those conversations as a nation. And so we have a document,
And I'm sure that we can all sit around the table, as tangata whenua and tangata tiriti, to look at what the hell this document serves us all, because it was gave consent for all of us to be here. And so Te Tiriti o Waitangi is not just about the rights of Māori, but the rights of everybody. And so if we can have a mature and adult conversation as a mature nation about to stand on our own two feet and be a tiriti-centric Aotearoa, I'm sure we'll be better for it.
But for now, the focus for the government remains squarely on mourning the Queen's death. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern has travelled to the United Kingdom to attend her funeral. She will also meet with the new King and the Prince of Wales. When she returns, New Zealand will have its own national memorial service. It's clear that even after that event, changes to New Zealand's constitution will be far away. That's Focus on Politics. Thanks for joining us. Mā te wā.